Joining us today on Cam FM, we have the woman who calls herself a conduit for truth. She's no stranger to controversy. She is the one and only Katie Hopkins. Katie, hello. Welcome to Cambridge.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You are presumably here primarily because you are standing in the European Parliament elections.
No, so I have stood before as an independent. I was standing... way back, I guess, maybe January sometime. But then I was standing because I thought it was very important that we had a referendum in Europe. There was going to be a party for We Want a Referendum. But actually, just after that, David Cameron came out and announced that they were going to give us a referendum in 2015 if the Conservatives get in. So at that point, I was kind of like, well, people perceived, whether we actually get one or not, people perceived that we had a referendum, and nobody wants to stand for a party called We Want a Referendum if we already think we've got one. So at that point I pulled out, so that may not be very helpful. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, that's good to know. You are on TV a lot. We've all seen you on This Morning. Can you sum up for us in just one sentence what it is that you do, just day to day? What is your job?
I guess my job primarily is a Sun columnist. That's how I would sum up my life now. But overall, I'm a broadcaster, a journalist. I like to believe that I'm somebody that tells it like it is, that tells it pretty straight, and that isn't kind of confined by needing to be liked. And if you asked me, you know, what's the biggest parameter around most people on our TVs or on our radios these days, is that they require that they want to be liked, and I don't have that.
Right. Well, we are certainly known for having said some very controversial things in the past. One of my favourites is that ginger children can't be loved.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty harsh.
So we want to know, what our listeners want to know, are you deliberately controversial, or do you genuinely believe these things?
Yeah, and I do get that a bit. In the street, people say, you don't mean that. But I do genuinely mean it. Otherwise, it would be a ridiculous thing to say. And also, it would be very difficult to call up something I'd said previously if I didn't mean it, if it was disingenuous, because you wouldn't know what the hell you'd said. But yeah, I do mean it. Now, clearly, in a 2-minute slot on a sofa, do you have to make your point quickly? Do you have to make it with some strength? Is it going to be slightly more black and white than it might otherwise be? Of course. But do I believe the things I say? Yeah. Do I think, is it one of Mum's big fears that you're going to have a ginger kid? Yes, it is. Is it that I find people that are fat very unattractive? Would I employ one? No, I wouldn't. Do I think tattoos are particularly helpful in getting a job? No, I don't. Unless you want to work for Apple, which, of course, they're an advantage. So, yeah. So the things I think I genuinely think, within a 2-minute piece of, say, camera, do you have to get that point across quickly? Yeah.
Is there anything that you wish you hadn't said?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can wish you hadn't said anything. I think there's certain times where there's things that have happened that I feel bad for. So, for example, with The Apprentice, when that all kicked off, when I left The Apprentice a long, 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 long time ago, my family were drawn into that a little bit. And I felt bad for that, because as much as I've put myself out there, they didn't. They didn't choose to put themselves out there, and things land, you know, they were blocked into the house for 2 months. So that I feel really bad for. But for me, I have no, I don't feel bad for what I've said, nor do I have any sympathy for any criticism, because if you put yourself out there, expect to take it.
So when you, because on Twitter, I mean, you do receive quite a lot of, you know, hate mail, hate tweets. So we've said quite recently, you've got, if Katie Hopkins was my mum, I'd probably have locked her in a cupboard the day I learned to walk. How does that make
that'd
you feel?
That's quite nice.
We've got, well, among the death threats, we've got, if my mum was Katie Hopkins, I'd put myself up for adoption. So I don't know why Katie Hopkins criticises fat people when she looks like she's opened the ark from Indiana Jones. When you get tweets like that, how do you feel?
Yeah, that really is really fine. And I mean that in a genuine sense, because if you didn't, you would fall apart. So I think a good example of that would be Thandi today, that's come out. She was UKIP, went on Channel 4 News supporting UKIP, and today suddenly she hates UKIP. And I know what's happened is she's had 3 days worth, probably, of absolute hate mail. She's probably been ripped apart on social media. She'll have been threatened. She'll have been rape threatened. She'll have been all the rest of it, and she's fallen apart. And of course that happens. You know, I've had rape threats. People hope I crash my car. They hope I crash my car with my children in it, and I can't get them out, and I have to watch them burn. But you have to see that those are small men they're probably 50-year-old, they're probably still living with their mum, and they probably eat their own earwax. And it's important to keep that sense of perspective when you're reading that kind of stuff. And if you went round, as I do fully intend to when we make the next documentary where I knock on people's doors, beware, when I knock on the door, would they say it to my face? No, I don't think they would. So I think what you must do is keep a sense of perspective. And would I ever recommend that we go to police over this sort of stuff? No, the police have got much better things, much more important things to be doing than worrying about your Twitter account. And if you don't like it, get off Twitter. Do not read it. Do not write an article for the Daily Mail and read the comments section. Don't read it. Don't go there. You know, take it away. So that would be my advice to people if they're feeling upset by their Twitter. Yeah.
So you've just spoken then about rape threats that you get.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've pointed out that these are, you know, little men making these comments. Do you consider yourself a feminist?
Yeah, I really do. I think I'm probably the toughest sort of feminist because I don't want anything other than universal treatment. So I don't want equal treatment if it means that we have to have special treatment. And I think we've got to a point where women ask for special treatment. We now have to have a woman on the panel. There's no suggestion of what talent, ability, qualifications she may have. All she's required to have is the correct chromosomes that line up that make her a woman. That's really frightening to me. Quotas in boardroom, again, really frightening idea that we might have something like that. And for me, unless I'm going to be recruited either on ability or performance, I don't want to be recruited at all. So for me, I think I am the ultimate feminist. Do I say bring it on? Yeah. Do I want to report you to the police for assaulting me? No, I don't. Do I think I could probably win in a fight against most blokes? Yeah, probably as well. So you know what? You know, that's how I see myself. I think that's the ultimate powerful position. I think these kind of dodgy feminists like Catelyn Moron, sorry, Moran, I think she's insignificant because she refuses, for example, to go on any TV panel shows because she doesn't want the criticism. And it's all about kind of girl power. I don't believe in that whole girl power thing. I think it's just about being accepted universally. Yeah.
And do you think that women are accepted now?
Yeah, definitely. I think we have so many opportunities more than ever before. I think we've come on leaps and bounds from where we were. And I think sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we imagine the world's against us. And coming from a point of view of imagining the world's against you, sometimes it can feel like perhaps it is. Whereas actually, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes decisions don't go our way. Sometimes life doesn't quite give you what you hoped it would. And very often that isn't because you're a woman. That's just because that happens to all of us. Yeah.
So has life given you what you hoped it would?
My God. Yeah, you know, if I died tomorrow, would I have thought, if I had a second to look back, I had a really interesting life? Yes. Would you plot it on a bar graph? No. Has it gone in any way in a straight line graph of some sort of trajectory? No, of course not. Has it looked more like a pinball machine? Absolutely. And do I enjoy that? Do I embrace that? Absolutely. And would it be for everybody? No. No, absolutely not.
I would like to talk about Cambridge specifically,
yeah,
because you've said in the past that you would like your children to mix with certain classes of children.
Yes.
So you don't want your kids mixing with children from lower caste backgrounds.
Yes.
Now, Cambridge is obviously, with its long traditions and history, known for being very middle class, known for being very public schooled. So that might be a sort of middle class ideal, but how do you reconcile that with actually the very real drinking culture and a lot of bad behaviour that goes on in Cambridge?
Oh, that's
would you send your children here?
Oh, if they could get in, I'd be thrilled. Well, if they wanted to come, I'd be thrilled. And I know that I won't have a say in their lives at that point. This is the really sad thing, is that I'm probably losing the point where I have a say in their lives any longer at 8 and 9, aren't I? They're going to zip off and do their own thing. But would I be thrilled for them if they wanted to come here? Yeah. Do I think Oxford and Cambridge are the best universities we have, elite institutions? Absolutely. I think they're fantastic. I celebrate that. And I applaud people who want to do well. And that's actually why I applaud middle class values, because I actually find middle class people to be exceptionally hardworking. They invest in their children. They want the best for them. I don't see why we have to knock that.
So you want your kids to go, even though there's a very high chance that they might be getting naked, as we've all seen in restaurants every week at swaps and vomiting everywhere.
That's not Cambridge, just... Oh. No, no. Okay, it is Cambridge, fine. But what I meant to say is it's not just Cambridge. You know, I went to Exeter, and Exeter had a pretty rough time in the press not very long ago for having whatever it was, sexiest student, or I don't even know what they got to, fine. But, you know, that's kind of student life. I don't think we should knock Cambridge for that. That's student life. I think it's important to have student life. Yeah.
You presumably have by now been able to tick rather a lot of things off your bucket list, so to speak. What is next on your bucket list, if you have one?
I'm not dead. I'm not tired.
No.
I don't want to raise £3 million. I can't stand the pressure. No, that was awful about that whole £3 million thing. That guy, Stephen. Is it Stephen? But people were criticising him on Twitter for not being dead enough. That was pretty harsh. So on my bucket list next, I've got a project that I'm just starting filming with the Discovery Channel related to obesity, and that's next on my list, and I'm really excited about that. And that involves, what would we say, in-depth look at people that are very, very overweight.
What's going to be your main angle on this one then?
So my main angle is that I don't tolerate people that are overweight. I have no patience for. Clearly, there's a few minority with a medical condition, blah blah blah. But for most people, they need to eat less and move more. And I have no tolerance for the idea that we're getting larger as a society, and that we should accept the fact we're now all a size 16, and that actually investing in NHS operations, people to have gastric bypass surgery just because people couldn't control their ability to overeat, that makes me clench my buttocks in anger.
What happens if you get fat one day?
That couldn't happen. Yeah, that's not a possibility. I appreciate if there's an illness, blah blah blah, all that we just said, the caveat. There's always a caveat. It's funny because the thyroid clinic also meets in KFC as far as I can see. But yeah, no, that wouldn't happen.
So thank you very much, Katie. Are you prepared to speak at the union tonight? Excited?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really great thing. I think what I would really hope for is that the students get involved and, you know, go for their lives, you know, say all the stuff. And I think they will. Usually it just takes one person to say something that sounds a bit rude, and then that's impolite, and then everyone will crack on with what they really wanted to ask. And that's more or less the forum that I'd like to have.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us, for speaking with Cam FM, Katie. We have been Hazel and Millie. So thank you very much, Katie Hopkins.
It's my pleasure.